got all the time. Yeah. Wow. Powerful. What I want to say is that Family Sunday, we don't have anything for you kids, but what I do have is in the back, there are some sheets, and one of these sheets is worship notes for kids, and there also are some puzzles and stuff. While I'm preaching, you fill this out, you take notes, you get this done, you're going to go see Miss Deb Virgo. Where did she go? Right there. And you tell her, you show her this, and she will give you a big box of candy or a pop. If you can stay with me through this whole thing, go back there and get that. And if you are an adult and you want to take notes, do it and go see Miss Deb. Okay, Deb? All right. So there you go. All right. While you're doing that, I brought my teddy bear today. Because this teddy bear represents comfort to me. When I was a little girl, my mother said, I didn't go anywhere without this. I got this when I was an infant, and this teddy bear, you can see, has been battered and loved to death. But it brought me comfort. Brought me comfort. How many of you have something that brings you comfort? What comforts you? Yeah? Now I'm grown up and I no longer need this teddy bear. And so this teddy bear's been in a box underneath my bed. But now I have different comforts. I have people who comfort me, right? My husband comforts me. Sits there with me. Who is it that brings you comfort? If you would ask my daughter Hannah, she would say, the best thing ever that brings me comfort is when I'm sleeping, and if I have a nightmare or if I can't get to sleep, if I can hear my dad snore, I know it's okay. My dad snoring brings me comfort, so I can just say, my dad's in the house, and so I can sleep. And she goes right back to sleep. Comfort. We need comfort. Could be teddy bears, it could be a person, but as we've heard so much going on in the world and everybody coming to the altar because we've had hard times or diagnosis, you've had adversity, you've had stress, you've been in strained relationships, disappointment, your health is failing, you're wondering what you'll ever make it. We got a infestation of those stinking bugs. I don't know what they are. Springtail bugs. You know, I'm like, I don't know if we're ever going to get out of this, right? Whatever it is, what are you saying? What's the world battering you about? You need that finishing anointing. You're tired. You think that you're losing. You just can't do it. Pastor's been preaching on that. And it's been so, so good. But what brings you that comfort? What in those times, in those stresses, who is it? Whose is it? What is it that brings you stress? That brings you comfort from that stress. Not stress. Amen. You're following me, I hope. Well, Paul, and this is where we're going to land today, Paul says, there's one thing that brings you comfort that I'm going to write to the Thessalonica church. And the thing that brings you, that I know that's going to bring comfort to them is not a teddy bear. It's Jesus. It's the presence of God. Amen. And he said, but so much so that I'm going to tell you, church, that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. That's going to bring you comfort. I've tried, Paul said, I've tried to come see you. I've tried to be there with you. But in chapter 1, I think, or chapter 2, it says, but Satan has buffeted me from coming. I can't get there. I've tried to get there, so I've sent Timothy. Timothy went, and he checked out the Thessalonica church, and he said, they're doing good, Paul. He comes back, he says, they're doing good. They got faith. They're holding on to their faith, and they're waiting for the return of Jesus. But they had some questions, and they They were trying to figure out, well, what about the return of Jesus? What's that look like? And we've got faith, but we got persecution too. When Paul and Silas was there and they were setting up the church plant in Thessalonica, they stayed at a guy's house named Jason. And the Jews didn't like that very much, and they started rumors about him, and they got a big riot, and they went to get Paul and Silas out of Jason's house, but Paul and Silas escaped. They took Jason, and they took a bunch of others, and they threw them in jail, and they brought them in front of the the city officials, there we go. And they said in Acts chapter 17, they have turned the world upside down, and they've come here acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, and his name is Jesus. Amen. So we got this opposition going on in the church of Thessalonica, and they're getting beaten up, they're in prison, but they're holding on to their faith, and they're looking for some guidance, they're looking for some comfort, and Paul says, I'm going to write you a letter. And I'm going to write you a letter, and I'm going to bring you comfort with the words that I'm going to speak. So if you open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13, 5 through 11. And Paul is speaking to the church there, and he opens up, let me get that, everybody there, 1 Thessalonians 4. If you don't have a Bible, they're under your seats there, you can grab them. Okay, I'm going to read out of the New King James. Yours might be a little bit different, but here we go. Verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. I'm going to stop there for right now. Paul is writing to the church. He's writing and he calls them brethren. This is the most coolest word I've ever heard, one of them. Brethren. From the Greek word, it means you're from the same womb. You're from the same womb. I'm talking to you, church. You're from the same womb as me, said Paul. You have brothers and sisters in Christ. You've been born again, as Jesus said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus. You've been born again. You're spiritually been born. You are my family. You're the brethren. And he says, I want you to know, brethren, I want you to know, you born again believers. I want you to know, brothers and sisters from the same womb. We have the same father. We've come through Jesus Christ. I want you to know this thing, so don't be ignorant. Yeah. Don't be ignorant. Saying, don't be stupid. Did you ever know that the Bible says don't be stupid? And it only says it a couple times. It says it right here when it's talking about the end times. And he says it again when he talks about gifts. And those are probably the two areas in our Christian walk that we are ignorant about. Right? But Paul is saying, don't be ignorant about it. I want to bring you comfort. And the comfort that I'm going to bring is going to be words that I'm going to speak to you about Jesus coming back. So don't be ignorant about it. But how many of us could say that we're kind of ignorant about the second coming of Christ? I know I was. I still probably am. I'm not going to be up here saying that I have all the answers. But when I first came to know Jesus Christ 30 plus years ago, I didn't want Jesus coming back. People would say, come on, we got to pray for Jesus to come back. I'm like, no, I want to have babies. I want to raise my kids. I want to, and I got fearful. So I just decided that I just will leave that to my theologian husband. He can figure that out. And I'll just do my thing. You know, I'm not worried about the trib ones. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, you know, that, or the rapture and all that. I just was like, no, I'm not going to worry that. And, you know, you probably heard the saying, pan-trib, yeah. I believe in pan-trib. I believe that everything's going to pan out in the end. And that was what I believed. And so since I knew that Jesus is coming back, I don't know when, it's all going to pan out, I'm going to be ignorant about it. And I'm just going to be just do my thing, and I know Jesus is coming, but I had some fear. And maybe some of you are about that, and the Thessalonica church was saying here, and they had some questions. Their questions was, hey, we're out here, we got faith, we're even dying for our faith, people are dying, and Jesus hasn't come back. What's going to happen to those people who died if Jesus hasn't come back yet? And Paul's saying, brethren, don't be ignorant. Here's what we're going to do. Jesus is coming back. I wanted to say, I'm not going into specifics today, but I want to do today is dispel the fear about the return of Jesus Christ and bring comfort to your heart. I'm not claiming to have answers, but I'm willing to take the Bible at face value and believe what it says and take these verses and point out a few concepts that are revealed here. And I pray that it will bring hope and comfort to you in the face of the Lord's returning. And it will bring you assurance, right? That there ain't no grave that's going to hold you down. Amen. There ain't no grave that's going to hold you down. Okay? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, he goes on to say, and I'm going to read this, and please follow along, and we'll go quick, but I want you to hear his words to the church, and I want you to picture yourself hearing these. You're the brethren, you're the ones from the same womb, and Paul is teaching you, telling you that this is going to bring you comfort. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Paul is saying, I'm going to tell you that Jesus is coming back for you. And he's coming back whether you're dead or alive. He's coming. And just that the fact that you know that he's coming should bring you comfort, should bring you edification, should edify your spirit. No longer should you be in fear. No longer should you be in shame or want to shrink back or give up. You know this, that Jesus is coming. Amen. And he's coming soon. Yeah. You might not know the day, the specific day, but you know the times and the seasons, and Paul says, I can tell you that he's coming. And that's going to bring you great comfort, and it's going to bring you edification. And in the Greek, the word comfort is parakaleia. I might not say that right, but what that Greek word means is to encourage, to speak, to console, to have words, to console, especially in times of difficulty or bereavement. You're going through a rough time. You're going through a bereavement. You're going through something. And these words are going to bring comfort. It also says in the Greek that it is associated with a military term, that a commanding officer would comfort his troops, would paraclete his troops before they went in battle. He would gather them together, and he would tell them, hey, we're going into battle, but don't forget the end. We are going to win, and this is our battle plan. We're going to go, and we're going to wipe them off the face of the earth. I don't know what they'd say, but they're rallying their troops. Okay, Paul is using that same word to comfort the beloved, the brethren, the people of the same womb. He's saying, I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to rally this you around that Jesus is coming. And he's going to edify you. The edify Greek word is a compound word that comes from the first word is okos, which means house. And the last word means demo, which means construction. And if you put that Greek word together, it means enlarging of a house. Edifying in the Greek means enlarging of a house. It means entailing in the building process, that you're going to add to the house and you're going to plan. You're going to implement it. You're going to make a decision to build it up. Yes. You're not accidentally going to figure it out. You're going to be constructive. You're going to be intentional, and you're going to build your brothers and sisters up. You're going to edify them. Okay? So can you imagine Paul, the commander per se, the apostle, saying, you're in a battle. You're losing lives. You're suffering for Christ. You're holding on the faith. But remember, he's coming back. Find comfort in that the presence of Jesus is coming. He's coming for you. He's coming. He's going to get you. He's coming for you. He's coming for the bride. He's building you up. Paul's saying, I'm going to expand your territory. I'm going to expand your teaching. I'm going to expand what you think is going on in the end times. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus sees it and that Jesus is coming back. Amen. That should comfort you and I in these trying times. We got to get back to the basics. Get back to know that Jesus, who died on that cross, rose again on the third day, and his resurrection power, he's coming back. He's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for you and I. And he sees the turmoil that we're in. He sees everything that's going on in the nation. He sees it all, but comfort one another. Turn to one another and say, Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Be intentional about that. The early church people in Rome, they knew that, so much so that they had a name for it, and they called it Maranatha. It was an Aramaic word meaning the Lord is coming. And every time they would greet them or any time they would leave, they would say Maranatha. The Lord is coming. It is also said that the Jews that came to know Christ would even use Maranatha before they would use the word Shalom. Shalom was a greeting that all Jews used, and it was to be say peace. But when you were a Jewish convert and you came into Christ, they would say Shalom once in a while, but they would always say Maranatha, because they said that Maranatha was Jesus is coming back. Jesus is the peace giver. Jesus will set us free. So Maranatha is a word that reminds us of God's deliberate plan. Deliberate plan from the beginning of time that he is coming. He's coming. He came as a baby, rose up, died for our sins, washed us clean. But he didn't leave us hanging. Amen. He came and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And in Ephesians it tells us that we're seated there. We just sang about that same resurrection power is in us. And we will go through some trials and tribulations, just like the Thessalonica church did, because we are going to be out there in the front. But as it gets darker, the church is going to get brighter. And as we do what we do, we're going to hold on. We are going to advance the territory, because we're going to remember Jesus is coming. Maranatha. Comfort each other with those words. Wow. Amen. Amen. He's coming back. He's coming back. Whew. If you look in verse 13, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. When Paul says this in this word, fallen asleep, he just means those who have died. Okay? He's using that word, died. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. The unbelievers, they're going to grieve. They're going to not have hope. But you brethren, you of the same womb, you the ones who have known Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're not going to have no hope. You're going to have hope. And you're going to have hope in this, verse 14. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with them who sleep in Jesus. He's just saying, if you believe that Jesus died and you believe that Jesus rose again, you have faith in that fundamental belief? Duh. Then have faith that he's coming back.
Yeah. Amen.
The enemy wants to question us. And as long as Jesus is tarrying, we're like, oh, he just left me hanging. And we have fear or whatever. But if we have that same faith that Jesus died, that he rose again, that the resurrection power, then we can have the same faith that he is coming back. And he's coming back for those that have gone asleep, Paul said, or have died. And they will rise first. Their graves, even though they're in the grave, their grave is not permanent. They're going to rise first. And then we who are alive, who remain, or will be caught up in the air with them. We're going too. Dead or alive, Jesus is coming back for his bride. You can be assured of that. Might not be assured of the exact timing, but you can be assured that Jesus is coming back. And you can be assured that the time is closer than it's ever has been. Even them, the first century church, they believed Jesus was coming then. 2,000 some years later, we're still believing, but he's coming. Don't forget that he's coming. And don't forget the third thing. You're going with him.
Amen.
You're going to be there. Okay? That brings you comfort. You're going to be there. Even so, God will bring with him. Verse 14. Even so, God will bring with him. God's going to make sure that when Jesus comes the second time, he's going to bring with him the dead in Christ who died and those who remain. We're going to be with him. You can be assured of that. I want you to really get that. You have doubts whether you're going to be there or not. You're going to be there. Because the word says that Jesus is coming back and he's going to bring with him the dead in Christ will rise first. And then you and I, we're going to be there with him.
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And then in verse 15, it says, for this we say, I tell you this, Timothy's told you this, Titus has told you this, but I also tell you by the word of the Lord. Just so you don't, you're questioning, I want you to know it's by the word of the Lord. Jesus even said it. Jesus' authority. And if you ever go into Matthew chapter 24, parallel, I won't, because of time, we won't go into it too much. But Matthew 24, he says about his coming. I'll just repeat real quick. The Son of Man, verse 30. The Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Wow. Yeah.
Persevere, because it's not just Paul's authority, but it's Jesus' authority, and we have it right here. This is going to happen. And when it happens, what's it going to look like? There's going to be some shouting.
Yes.
There's going to be a voice of an archangel. And there's going to be a trumpet.
Yeah.
Woohoo! There's going to be some shouting.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be quiet. There's going to be the voice of God's going to shout. We're all going to shout because here he comes. Shouting, announcing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming back for his bride. He's coming for you and me. He's coming to bring justice. Jesus is coming back. And there's a shouting, just as there was a shout and there was some dancing when the King of Kings, King David, came and brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem for the first time. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 6 that everyone was out dancing and shouting, and the trumpets were playing because David was king and he was coming on his throne. But David also knew that he was not just the earthly king, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the presence of the ark, God's presence was coming back to Jerusalem too. And they were having a great reunion and they were rejoicing just because the King of Kings was coming.
Amen.
And we need to rejoice, and we need to know that he's not leaving us alone. He is coming back for his bride, and there's going to be great shouting, and there's going to be the voice of an archangel. Archangel is just a powerful angel speaking, and that means that going to even summon all the angels. Heavenly hosts are coming. They're all coming. And there's a trumpet sound. Trumpet saying it's going to be victorious. Yes. Trumpets were used to call God's people together. You're going to call the angels together, and he's going to call God's people together. And we're going to have this reunion. He's announcing that the King of Kings, the rival, is coming. He's coming. He's coming for his bride. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive will be caught up. When you study end times, eschatology, the end of all things will come to an end. But not Jesus. Amen. Not our God. Okay? It's a promise that he's coming for us. And the word rapture is not in the Bible, but it's in the Bible. We have it right here in 1 Thessalonians. He's calling us up. The dead in Christ will be caught up. That Greek word means harpazo. In the Latin, it means rapturo. It means that that's where we get the word rapture from. It means to catch, to seize, to snatch out of danger just in time. Just in time. Just in time. Can you trust Jesus to know the time? Amen. My Jesus, your Jesus, he's coming through. Yeah. Come on. Yes. He's coming through.
Yes. Yes.
He sees it all. He sees everything that you're going through. He sees the state of the church. And he knows when to come.
Yeah.
I don't know. You figure it all out. You go study it. Don't be ignorant. You go stay. But I do know that he's coming.
Yes. Yes.
And he's coming for his bride. And he will catch us up.
Yeah.
The dead in Christ are going to raise up. And then we're going to raise. We will get raptured. And I love it that he says, then we who are alive. Paul's saying, I'm going to be there. We. Yeah. He lived with this expectancy that Jesus was coming back. Can you and I live with that expectancy that will drive us to get through whatever we have to get through, whatever thing, tribulation that may come our way, whatever trial may come our way? Can we hold on and can we say to one another, Maranatha, Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Right. He's going to catch us up. He's going to catch us up just like he did Enoch when God took him up to heaven, just like he did Elijah in a whirlwind. He took him up. Just like Jesus went up in the clouds, he ascended into heaven. Just like in Acts when Philip got taken up and transported to another city. That's that word, rapture. That's that Greek word. He's going to do that with you and I. He's going to rapture us. We're going to be there. It's true for all of us. I don't know, we were sitting at our table and we had a project we were doing and we couldn't figure it out. And old pastor pulls out this magnet. I've never seen it before in my life. And he says, oh, I got just the right tool. And he pulls out this, and I think we called it a cow magnet, right? He gets this magnet out and it attracts metal, right? And he fixed whatever we were fixing. And I said, well, what is that? Tell me about that. Now, Roger might know more about it than I will, so you tell me if I'm doing it right. So I guess old cow, Bessie the cow, he eats stuff, and when he eats stuff, he eats everything, right? And it gets in his stomach, and he gets sick. So they take this magnet, cow magnet, and they put it down his throat, and it goes into his intestine in his stomach. And anything that is like this magnet, metal, will just attach itself to it, right? And then they... Leroy, what do they do with it?
It just stays in there.
It just stays in there. in the room, and but it gathers, it attracts all the other metals, so the cow can then be okay, right?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Okay. Well, he'll be all right for my illustration. Okay. All right. Okay.
We got heel cows.
We got heel cows. Okay. So I was thinking about that.
Roxanne?
Yeah.
A cow has four stomachs.
Okay. So maybe you have to put four of them in there. I don't know. Okay. Well, here's the thing. I was thinking that Jesus was like a magnet, like this. Spirit of God just, he said, use this as an illustration. But Jesus is coming down. He's dropping down into our world. And he's going to attract all the people of the same womb are going to come to him. Not the unbelievers, but the believers. They're all coming to attract. So you say, am I going to miss it? Am I going to miss the rapture? Am I going to miss the second coming of Christ? No, you're not.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is coming. Just like this magnet goes into the cow and it all attracts. When Jesus comes, the believers are going to be caught up. They're going to be attracted. They're going to come to Jesus. If you are the brethren, if you are of the same womb, if you've been born again, you are assured that Christ is coming back and he's coming for you.
Yes.
Woo! He's going to snatch you up from imminent danger. And it's going to be a VIP reception. There's going to be shouting. There's going to be archangels. There's going to be trumpets. And you get to be there.
Yes.
Woo! Encourage yourselves. Comfort one another that you're going to be there. Wow. Woo! Amen? That's just so good. He'll ever be all times perpetual. Jesus will come through. He is the way maker. He makes a way when there's no way. He's able to keep you and preserve you till the day of the Lord approaching. Jude 1, 24 and 25. Now to him who is able, we sang that song. He's able. He's able to keep you. Just as he was able to save you, he's able to keep you. He's able to keep you from stumbling, and he's able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I got lots more to go, but I don't know if we should maybe wrap it up here, but... And yeah, you and I, I want to leave us maybe with this, and maybe it'll be a second part of
next Sunday.
He goes into that 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, when the day is approaching, the day of the Lord is approaching, right? And he says, it's going to come like a thief in the night. It's going to come like women in labor pains. Sorry, Grace and Casey, but they're horrific at times, especially when you get at the transition period. There comes where I've given birth for 5 babies, and when you get to that transition period, you cannot stop it. Everything in your body is saying, I'm birthing this baby. I'm going to push it out. I'm going to do whatever I got to do, but it's coming. And Jesus is coming. And that day is coming. And he says, you might not know the seasons or the times, the chronos or the times, but you know that the day, that 24-hour period or that day between the rapture and the millennium and all that, Jesus is coming. I don't know the day, but he's coming. And it's going to be like a thief in the night for the unbeliever. And it's going to be like women having labor pains. It's going to be painful there. But I want you to land on this, and this is where we're going to end. It says, look at verse 5, chapter 5, verse 4. But you, brethren, you of the same womb, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as the thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And I had a whole teaching on watching and being sober and putting on the breastplate of faith and hope and love, but we're not going to get there. But what I want you to know is you've got to know your identity in Christ. When the enemy is telling you that you're not going to make the rapture, you're not going to see Jesus coming again, you're not good enough, you say, you look at this verses and you say, I am not of the dark. I'm not of the dark. What does it say you are? It says you are sons of light. You are light. You are a son of light. Son of Jesus Christ. You are his. You are the same womb. You are of light. Light dwells not with darkness. Let's get to that. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Jesus even said in John 12:36, you will have the light, believe in the light, that you are the sons of light. Yes. You're not darkness.
Yes.
You're not darkness. You're light. And it also says that you're the sons of the day. The day is coming when Jesus is coming back. You are the son of the day. You were born for just this moment. You are a son of the day. You are a son that is guaranteed by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and his ascension into heaven, and that he's coming back. He's coming back for the sons of the day, not the sons of the darkness, but the sons of the day, the sons of the light. Woo. And know who you are. Colossians 1:1-3 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his son. You're no longer in darkness. You are son of light, son of the day. Darkness has no hold on you. You are assured of the second coming of Christ, that you will be with him. And we are to comfort one another with those words. He's coming. He's coming back. He's coming. He's coming for his bride. He's coming for you and I, so you can persevere through whatever you need to persevere. You hold on to the knowledge that God is comforting you with these words. You no longer need a teddy bear, right? You need the presence of Jesus, and he is coming. Whoa, he's coming.
Yes.
You are sons of the day. Just stop there. Well, one more thing. At the very end, he says, and this is important too. It's all important. Verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. For God did not obtain you for the wrath. The wrath of God is going to come on this earth. But God didn't mean that wrath of God for you. Because what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He died. He took you from the wrath of God. You are his children. You have obtained salvation. Okay? You have obtained salvation. So I'm putting this second coming of Christ very, very simple, very, very down to earth. But I just want you to know, the Lord has not appointed his children to wrath, but to the fullness of salvation. For he's coming for you. And it says that you will always, say always,
always,
always be with the Lord. And it says that you'll live together with him. Live together with him. Always. For eternity. He's coming back. So leave today encouraged, comfort, edified that Jesus is the bridegroom who's coming for his bride. He's coming for each and every one of you. And we don't know where or when, but be assured that he's coming.
Yes.
Amen? Okay. Pastor, you want to land it?